Call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. It's 1:05 PM. We have Senator Merrick, Senator Bishop, and Senator Keel, myself, Senator Olson. We have a quorum. We have Senator Hoffman as well. The other two senators are away on state business at this time. We have two bills on our agenda. The first one is Senate Bill 48 by the governor. We previously heard this bill, the U version, committee substitute yesterday. Ken, would you come on up and explain the new fiscal note, please?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Ken Alper, staff to the Finance Committee. There is a new fiscal note with Senate Bill 48, and that came from the AOGCC. You may recall that within the committee substitute was the so-called Class 6 well primacy section. This is really part of the governor's other carbon bill, the carbon injection bill. Once we start doing that, the state's going to be taking permitting primary responsibility on a certain type of injection well. It'll take a few years to get through the hoops, through the process. So we want to start the ball rolling on that, particularly because of the limited amount of time to claim the federal tax credits, what we call the 45Q credits, that are what some of the companies are really going to be pursuing with the carbon injection program. So regardless, we've put that part of the other bill into this bill. That carries with it certain costs to the AOGCC. It's about $900,000. So the fiscal note that had previously been attached to the other bill has been attached to this bill, and it's a complete package ready to go so that they can implement that section.
Any questions of Mr. Alper by members of the committee over what was just presented? If not, we have one additional amendment that came in from Department of Natural Resources. Do we have a motion? Senator Bishop. Calling at ease. Senator Finance Committee back to order. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On your behalf, I move amendment number one.
I'll object for the explanation.
Mr. Chairman, Ken Alper, staff of the Finance Committee. After the committee substitute was put on the table last night, Ms. Miller from DNR and her people back at the office went through it and found a handful of technical clarifications that they asked for. We compiled them together into amendment number one. They really are just a sequencing and clarity and some punctuation. Don't be concerned, for example, about the elimination on line 10 of the amendment about the effect on the timber industry. That issue is covered in multiple places, including about three lines lower in the bill. There's nothing material in amendment number one. It's all about just technical cleanups and pointing to the right subsections of the bill, that sort of thing.
Any further questions of Mr. Alper on amendment number one? I'll remove my objection. Amendment number one is on. Calling at ease. Call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. We have another amendment, amendment number two. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number two.
I will object for explanation.
Amendment number two is familiar to the two co-chairs and myself because we did a similar amendment some years back, 2014, I believe, to the AKLNG project, which we took 20% of the revenue generated we're going to take 20% of the revenue generated from the carbon offset program and to be deposited into the Renewable Energy Grant Fund inside of 8. And that will go hand in glove also with the other Green Bank bill that we have before us as well. So thank you.
Okay. Senator, I'm sorry, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for listing me as a co-sponsor on the amendment.
So noted. Any further questions by members of the committee? Is there any more? I'll remove my objection. The amendment is adopted. Are there any other amendments to come before the committee? If no other amendments, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 48 from committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Any objection? Senator Keel.
Just for a little discussion, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Please.
Senator Keel. Mr. Chairman, I wonder if we might have a representative from DNR come up. We have been having some discussions, and actually there were a couple of questions at the table that are extremely difficult to figure out, constitutional questions. And you heard a question about potential for royalty the other day, and I have spent a significant piece of the session talking to legislative legal services and gotten a memo or two that come down to these are novel questions. We're not sure. And I think they have the potential to really be material to the finances mm-hmm. of any credit project. And we're going to need, Alaskans are going to need some level of really thorough analysis. Questions about whether the carbon itself or the carbon dioxide itself is a resource of the state under our constitution, and if so, is it a mineral resource? Is it a replenishable resource? Does that depend on whether it's in a tree, or in the soils, or in a geologic formation deep underground? I think there are questions because these credits are about carbon in a specific form in a specific place about the surface estate and the subsurface estate. And I think there's some good provisions in here to work on making sure that we have thought through the impact of doing carbon credits and whether there are locatable minerals other than carbon, you know, might be mined. They go to whether folks who own private property can engage in these sorts of carbon credits, and knowing whether there's going to be a royalty, just for instance. Mr. Chairman, I had some preliminary conversations with the Department of Natural Resources. They brought some folks from law. And my suggestion would be that as used to happen a fair amount, that the Department of Law actually publish legal opinions on these. Alaskans would be able to see them. Everybody would know what the state's constitutional take is on this, what the interpretation is. And then things can move forward in the bright light of day. And so I wonder if we could ask somebody from the administration, maybe Ms. Miller, to come up and talk about that.
Ms. Miller, are you prepared to talk about it? Do you want somebody from Natural Resources to come up and help you?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Rena Miller, Special Assistant to the Commissioner at Department of Natural Resources. We appreciate the question, Senator Keel, and the dialogue in your office. At this point, Department of Law has conveyed to us that there is no law right now that says whether or not carbon is a mineral for legal purposes. And so, as you're aware, they're unable to speculate on that. However, the governor has conveyed that he agrees to request that written opinion from the Department of Law as to whether carbon is a mineral resource, and would be happy to do that. From DNR's perspective, we're going to conduct this program in accordance with Constitution and state laws, whatever they may be and however they're defined, and you have that assurance from us. there's certainly an interesting question related to the carbon. In this case, we're really focused on a unit, a credit that represents not carbon exactly or CO2 exactly, but an avoided or reduced emission unit. So there are certainly intriguing questions involved, and we're able to make those commitments to the committee.
Is there anybody else you want to ask questions about?
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the executive branch's willingness to do that. I think that's going to help Alaskans see what this all means. I think there's exciting potential here. And having those interpretations out in the bright light of day, I think is going to be an excellent step so that DNR knows what the rules are as they move this forward.
Is that answering the positive, Ms. Miller?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, absolutely nothing to add. We'll conduct these programs in accordance with the state rules and laws.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Bishop, we have a motion.
There was a motion.
There was.
I should remove my objection. That's what I should do. I remove my objection, Mr. Chairman.
The objection has been removed. Senator Bishop.
We're done.
That's it, without objection.
Without objection, the bill moves.
Okay. No objection to the bill, but... Call the Senate Finance meeting back to order without further objection. Any further objection, this Senate Bill 48, Carbon Offsets, by the Governor, moves from committee. With that, please go at ease until we... call the Senate Finance Committee meeting back to order. We're hearing Senate Bill 138, the Elections Voter Registration Bill by Senate State Affairs. As we told you already, May 9th was sort of heard into public testimony. We requested amendments. They've been incorporated in the committee substitute. We have a committee substitute that has been adopted and explained by Ken Alpers. Do we have any further discussion?
Chairman, I think we need a motion to adopt the CS. May I?
Yeah, he does. No, the CS just arrived.
Call the Senate Finance meeting back to order. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate Finance Committee adopt committee substitute for Senate Bill 138 Finance, version 33LS0783/U, as in Unalaklete, as our working document.
Okay, we have a motion to adopt the CS. Any objection? I'll object for explanation. Mr. Alpers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pleasure to see you again. Ken Alper, staff to the Finance Committee. The U version before you incorporates all amendment requests that were received by committee members, as well as a number of amendments that came in from other senators, and including the sponsor, Senator Kawasaki, and to an extent from his conversations with the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, Representative Vance. Some of these provisions are in a bill that they're separately working on over there. So just to walk through the differences between the prior version and what you have before you. Number one, if you make some sort of false statement in an application for a voter registration, that is no longer potentially a felony perjury charge. It is a misdemeanor, but the previous version would have made that a perjury charge. The second change removes the possibility that would have allowed international elections observers in a precinct or counting center in Alaska. We no longer have that in the bill. Number three relates to this concept of ballot selfies, and it remains illegal in the bill that someone could use a picture of their completed ballot in some way to try to influence someone else to vote a certain way. We're trying to prevent that sort of influence with ballot selfies. The fourth change has to do with when someone is seen to have voted twice. So sometimes that happens for non-nefarious reasons. Maybe they voted at the polling place and forgot that they had previously sent in a mail ballot, something like that. The bill tried to give priority to which one should be counted. They took that language out. If something like that happens, it goes to the Attorney General, it goes to the Department of Law, and they'll figure out what to do. It's best not giving direction on what to do in that circumstance. Number five has to do with the observers, and it was more restrictive as to who could pay for observers to watch something. Now all campaigns may provide observers witnesses at their own expense. Number six has to do with the circumstance where a ballot might show up after Election Day and the process to prove that it was actually mailed before Election Day, relating to barcodes cancellation stamps on the ballot. This was just some clarifying language to make sure that was clear, that as long as it was mailed before Election Day, it's okay that it could be received after Election Day. Number seven was a process for curing uncounted ballots. The notice that the Director of Elections has to give is make sure that it happens within a day, more clarifying language, but again, it's to the process of curing question ballots. We deleted the section, number eight, that requires secure drop boxes when you have an all-mail election. That removing that section, among other things, Mr. Chairman, will save a few dollars. The Division of Elections fiscal note, one of its line items was about $100,000 for these drop boxes. So we'll be able to save that money and we'll get a fresh fiscal note, presuming the committee moves the bill this way. And finally, Mr. Chairman, there is language in the bill that allows political signs up to 38 square feet. All of you have run for office, obviously. That's 8 by 4 feet. You're allowed to have them near along a highway. There was a prohibition that said, but the property owner can't be paid. That prohibition is removed. So you could now, I suppose, pay a property owner to post your campaign sign. And that is the changes in the bill, the review version of Senate Bill 138.
Do we have any questions by members of the committee for Mr. Alper's ready to come in substitute? If not, I'll go ahead and remove my objection. We'll ask the bill sponsor and David Dunsmore to come on up and comment on the committee substitute, whether they're in favor or not in favor of it. Please come on up, identify yourself for the record, and go ahead with your thoughts on the CS.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Finance Committee. We appreciate the input that members of the Finance Committee and folks across both sides of the aisle have helped us reform this bill. It's a complex bill, not new issues that we have seen in previous years. I just wanted to thank the committee for entertaining the motion of potentially passing this bill this year. Thank you.
Dunsmore.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, David Dunsmore, staff to Senator Wilkowski, assisting the Senate State Affairs Committee. I believe Senator Kawasaki adequately addressed it.
Okay. Any other committee discussion about this bill? If we don't, Senator Keel.
Brief at ease.
Senate Finance Committee, come back to order.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee report out, Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 138, Work Order 33LS0783/U as in Unalakleet, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Without objection, Senate Bill 138, the Elections Bill, passes from committee. This concludes this afternoon's agenda. Tomorrow morning it's at 10 o'clock in the morning, Saturday. We'll be hearing Senate Bill 88, the Defined Benefit Pension, by Senator Giesel. The presentation will be from Buck Consulting, the administration's actuary, along with the fiscal notes to the bill. We'll take amendments and seek the will of the committee at that time. At this time, we're adjourned at 1:45.